Looking at four scriptures today, so get ready with your fingers on the iPads or whatever you're on, your mobile phones, or get ready with your, this is where it's good having two Bibles, thank you Karen. So we've got Isaiah 28 verse 16, and then we're going to go to Acts chapter 4 verse 11 to 13, then we're going to go to Ephesians chapter 2 verse 19, then we're going to go to 1 Peter 2 verse, chapter 2 verse 4, and are we going to be looking at this question, what is church? And we're going to be looking at, there's just so much inside me, you know, sometimes there's so much inside you, and I can't do it justice, and I just want to share everything that God is saying. But what we're going to do is over this week and next week, possibly beyond, we'll just see how things go, we're going to be unpacking some of these verses. So I'm just going to read out these verses now, Isaiah 28 verse 16. So this is what the Sovereign Lord says. See, I lay a stone in Zion, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone for a sure foundation. The one who relies on it will never be, and in these, this is where some of the translations vary, will never be stricken with panic, mine says, or yours might say, will never be dismayed, or yours might say, well, Peter says, will never be put to shame, or your version might say, will never act hastily. And all of them are really, really important to what I want to say this morning. So then let's skip through to Acts chapter 4. And I wasn't going to read this out until I reread it this morning. And I thought, how can you not read this one out? This is amazing. This is a quote from Peter, who was hiding away because he had seen the Lord and Savior that he had followed crucified on a cross. And so they were hiding away. And here he is standing up in front of everybody. And Acts chapter 4 verse 11, Jesus is, he says to everybody, the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. And when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. And they took note that these men had been with Jesus. And then let's go to Ephesians chapter 2, and we're going to look at verse 19. So Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19, which I read out last week. Again, very powerful. As we're going through these verses, keep thinking Jesus, keep thinking way of life, keep thinking mission, keep thinking what we're about as a church. And verse 19 says, chapter 2, verse 19, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens, plural, with God's people, plural, and also members, plural, of his household, plural, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, in other words, the word of God, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. And then the final reading is from 1 Peter chapter 2, and we're at verse 4. And Peter is saying this, as you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, now as I've been looking through the book of Hebrews about Jesus being the high priest and being an heir and that we are co-heirs. Remember last week I said that everything that God is, we are in Christ. Amen. But I'm not omnipotent God. Well, actually, I can be omnipotent when I'm in Christ. Because when I pray, we've just been praying for Juliana, we believe that God is moving in that hospital room, don't we? We believe that God is moving in power. All that God is, I am in Christ. All that God has, I have in Christ. All that God can do, I can do in Christ. Amen. Wow. Amen. How amazing is that if you get your head around it? So 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, see, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. So the question of my heart, and as I've been reading again, Dietrich Bonhoeffer's book, Life Together, read it. It takes a little bit of thinking through, but read it, Life Together. He says everything that God's been saying to us as a church over the last 4 or 5 years in that book, which was written in about, 1930s or 40s. And as you know, he stood up against Adolf Hitler in World War II. And he talked about community and what it means to live as a church, as a community of people. And it is absolutely powerful stuff. And God has been saying, and I've been thinking about, what is church? And I was listening to a sermon on YouTube. Don't we love, God bless YouTube. And in this, it kind of woke up my eyes, because in the Protestant Reformation, there was a move away from the church doing everything to individual salvation, wasn't it? We are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And that's absolutely right. But there's almost become a hyper-individualism in the church today. And God wants us to recapture what it means to be church, to be community, because the Bible talks more about our than mine, more about us than me, more about we than I. Talks about the body, not the toe. Talks about the kingdom. It talks about citizens, not citizen. Living stones built together rather than a living stone lying there on its own, which is pretty useless when it is. So God is cementing us together as a church. The church God is excited about. And so often, you know, we moan about church. Maybe we don't, but you hear people moan about church, don't you? You hear people sort of, they've got niggles about church, or I've been upset by church. And sadly, people are hurt by churches. And that's a sad, sad thing. Because God is excited about church. God loves church. Church is the foretaste of what is to come. Church is and can be the foretaste of what is to come in heaven. And it is the best of what could be now. It is the best of what could be now. When church is right, and when it's living with what we're going to talk about today, Jesus right at the center, then church community is the best community that could ever be, could ever exist, and God loves it. God loves the whole body, the church, as a whole, and has put us into a body of believers called the church. And Jesus is the cornerstone of that church. So as OCF, we're continuing to pursue a physical space, and we will be talking to you about that. And there are things happening, there are developments taking place, and we've got one or two options, and we're exploring all of those kind of things. And it's really exciting to have that as a space and a place within our community to be able to minister to the community, to be able to share Jesus with the community. But the only way to build a healthy church for the future is when Jesus is the cornerstone. So I would rather be talking about building the church rather than the church building. Rather talk about building the church than about the church building. And that's what we're going to do now. And this phrase just kind of landed in my head over the Christmas holidays, and it hasn't gone away, and it's brought some transformation into my life. And it's not a verse from the Bible. It's a verse from in my head that I'm believing God put there. But it is in the Bible. And the sentence is this, that nothing else matters until Jesus matters most. Nothing else matters until Jesus matters most. And I've just been going round and round that phrase in my head. Do I agree with it? Do I not agree with it? What does it mean? And the more I've been reflecting on it and thinking about it, the more it's brought transformation into my life. Because I've had 2.5 years of COVID in a primary school, and waking up in the morning thinking, who's going to be off today, and which children are going to be off today, and which classes do I have to close today, and who's going to be ill today, and how long will they be off for, and how do we keep education going, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And you wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning and it's in your head, and you go to sleep at night and it's in your head. And you have got lives like that as well, I'm sure. You've got families and you've got things going on in your lives. And I've got to the point where I've realized that that just occupied too much of my mind. And this phrase, nothing else matters until Jesus matters most, has got to be my byline, my mission statement for this coming year. So we're going to have a look at this right now, because that's the essence of what I'm saying this morning. What is a cornerstone? If Jesus is that cornerstone, what is a cornerstone? And how does it relate to Jesus and us? And that's going to be our focus for the next 2 weeks. So this week I'm going to be looking at three ways in which the cornerstone is relevant to us and depicts Jesus. And then next week we're going to look specifically about the specific living stone, which is Jesus. So a cornerstone, first and foremost, is the foundation stone. The foundation stone that is laid first before all other parts of the building, before any other brick or any other stone is put into place. Now, I don't know if they use cornerstones anymore when they're building, but they certainly use foundations. And we've all seen the Leaning Tower of Pisa, and there's a place in America, I think in Texas, called the Ocean Tower that just basically sunk into the ground. When they built it, got the foundations all wrong. And that Leaning Tower, the foundations were completely wrong. So the cornerstone sets the position and determines the direction of the building of the church of our lives. We can't design our plans and gather the bricks and put the bricks together and then try to squeeze the cornerstone Jesus into the building and suddenly realize that the cornerstone wants to be facing in one direction and we've built it over here facing that way. And yet so often we try to build what we want to build and then say, Jesus, come and bless it. And actually what we need to be doing first and foremost, this has been something that I've needed to repent of and be challenged in, instead of in every part of our life saying, Jesus, where do I begin? Where do I start? What's the direction? Where should I be facing? Where should I be positioned? In that situation I'm dealing with at work, in my family, in my finances, in my relationships, in my marriage, in my prayer life, in my church, in my ministry, and you could do the list. Where is Jesus first? Where is he facing first in this situation? Come to him first. Not build the dream and then hope he comes to bless it. Because the dream might be a wonderful dream, but it might just be slightly out. And we all know about big ships on the ocean who are just slightly out and end up in a completely different country. Our position has to be in Christ and in Christ alone. In no one else, in nothing else, and least of all, in us. And that might mean that we have to wait on Jesus. Ooh. And we hate that, don't we? Waiting. Oh, so hard. I know what needs to happen here, Lord. Do you remember, was it Saul who was told to wait for Samuel before he entered into battle? And I'm sure Saul thought to himself, I know what to do, and we're going to be overrun, and we're going to be overwhelmed. I kind of partly feel sorry for Saul in that story. I kind of think, yeah, that's probably would be me. I'd be rushing ahead. But because he didn't wait for Samuel, then God didn't bless him. In fact, God took the kingdom away from Saul because he didn't wait. Sometimes we have to wait before we launch into something we're desperate to do or respond to in out of anxiety. I was looking on a law firm's reasons for the collapse of buildings. It's one of those things you do. So I was looking at it, and the first one is the foundation one. And the second one is common reason for structural damage and collapse is when constructors work hastily to save time to meet deadlines and make too many compromises or bypass key steps along the way. So in the New King James Version, in Isaiah 28, it says this: Behold, I lay in Zion a stone for a foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. Whoever believes will not act hastily. I love that. Isn't it great to have other versions? Will not act. Whoever believes will not act hastily. And sometimes it's so easy to act hastily, isn't it? Oh, we've got to get this done quick before somebody judges me or before something terrible happens. And it's all about trust, isn't it? That cornerstone. Do we trust the cornerstone? Do we wait on the cornerstone? Do we listen to the cornerstone? Are we setting our hearts on the cornerstone? So the last 2 years of my life have been a little bit like that. And I think in Matthew chapter 13, Jesus talks about the parable of the sower, verse 22. He says, the worries of this life choke the seed, making it unfruitful. I won't ask for a show of hands. The worries of this life choke the seed. The worries of this life choke the seed. I think over the last 2 years, one thing I've noticed amongst not just the children, but amongst the staff, amongst everybody that I've met, the parents and the families, and maybe even people here in this church and myself, is that there has been that increase of anxiety. Has anybody noticed that? There's been like almost a little bit of an increase of worry and concern about the future, and certainly with our children there has been. The worries of this life choke the seed, making it unfruitful. So our battle is with anxiety and worry. How do we battle against that? By allowing Jesus to be the cornerstone, by waiting on him, by going to him. We must be in the right place with Jesus if we're going to be in a right place in our lives. Nothing else matters until Jesus matters most. So, second point about the cornerstone. The cornerstone isn't just determining our direction, but it also sets the angles that all other parts of the building align to. So Jesus is the one that every part of our lives needs to square with. All of our angles, our decisions, the parts of our lives need to be true to Jesus and aligned to his teachings, his life, his character, his nature. And if our angles are not right, then what we build becomes weak and unstable. And in Isaiah, it talks about this plumb line of righteousness, which is set and maintained by Jesus and not by us, praise God. He is the one. If we've got Jesus as the cornerstone, everything else is angled right. Everything else is right. A plumb line, I was looking this up because some people here will know exactly what a plumb line is, but a plumb line is a bit like, you know, you have a spirit level to make sure that something is horizontal, perfectly horizontal when you're putting a shelf up. Don't talk to me about shelves and putting shelves up. I can't even do that. But anyway, it turns out. But a spirit level makes sure that everything horizontal is straight. A plumb line does the same thing, but for the vertical. Okay? So the plumb line ensures that a wall or a building is perfectly vertical. But here's the point. The reason that that's important is because it will transfer its supporting load directly downwards to the strong foundation. And if the vertical elements are not installed exactly to the plumb line, then some of the weight is off center. And instead of being the load going down to the foundation, it creates stress to other parts of the building. That was a revelation to me this morning. I thought, wow, there's a sermon in that somewhere. How good is that? So this plumb line has got to be perfectly straight down to the foundation stone, which is Jesus Christ. And he will carry the load. And he will carry the stress. And he will carry the burden. But when it's off center, then other parts of the church and other parts of your life and other things will then start to try to carry that load and will crumble eventually because the load is too heavy. Has anybody ever been in a situation where the load is too heavy, where it is too hard, it is too stressful, where you can't find a way through? If your plumb line is straight, then it is Jesus carrying that load. So we need Jesus as that cornerstone so that our plumb line is straight, so that we can carry the load with him. Jesus is the foundation stone that bears the weight of sin and the weight of life. We don't have to rely on ourselves to bear the weight. I was listening to Jerry Bridges, who's passed away now, he's gone to be with the Lord, and he made some really good observations, and he said this, that we don't have a performance related, I mean, sadly, we often get saved by grace and then live our lives by works. Live our lives by trying to please God and please Jesus, but hang on a minute, you know, we're saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, we need to live by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. We don't have a performance-related, works-based relationship with God. We have a Jesus-related, Jesus-based relationship with God. We should have. And the good news of the gospel can be summarized in two R's. So the first R is renounce. Renounce all confidence in ourselves and any ability we think we have to be righteous in our own efforts, not just for salvation, but for life and blessing. And I love the little picture he gave. When he said he talks to students, and they get this, they understand this. So any students who are writing an essay or sitting an exam, for example, and they get 99%, I think, whoa, it's a first again, another first. Or if you get sick, I don't know what it was for Adrian's master's or for what you get nowadays, I don't know what the threshold is, it's 65%, 70%. So he said, but 99, if you got 99%, you would think, wow, that was great, I've passed. But God would say, no, you've not. Because you can only pass in God's books with 100%. 100% is the only possible pass mark. That's the Bible. How do you get that? You don't get it. Jesus does. Jesus is the only one that we can rely on. Because no matter how amazingly, brilliantly, fantastic you think you are, you're not. Now, God loves you, and you are fantastically brilliant. Don't get me wrong. But what I'm saying is, if you're measuring your life according to your works and your ability, and you are measuring your life against how good you are, you can never match up to how good you need to be. But Jesus can. Jesus can. So the second R, so renounce all confidence in yourself, unable to achieve anything in God on your own. Second R, rely. Rely on Jesus Christ for salvation and for life. All forgiveness comes from him. All blessing comes from him. No blessing comes or prayer is answered because we are righteous, but because he is. And how powerful is it that when we come and we pray into these situations, that we pray saying, Lord God, if I'm good enough, bless me. If I'm good enough, Lord Jesus, bless that person. And he'll say, no, you're not good enough. But if we come to him and say, Lord Jesus, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, be healed. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, grow your church. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, move in power. And God will say, yes. We were saved by grace. We need to live by grace with Jesus as our cornerstone in every part of our lives. Now, sometimes we need help with this, help to understand it, help to live it. My mum's house was built on a council estate. A council house, really well-built council house. All the angles were right. Until the telephone company came along one year and attached a big, huge, great cable to the gable end of her house a few years ago and up to another telegraph pole in the years when they had things like that. And lo and behold, a few years later, it turns out that the wall was starting to be pulled away from the rest of the house. And they came to do a survey of the house because my mum was remortgaging. And it turns out it was really unstable because this cable was pulling the wall away from the house and making it unstable. Things happen in our lives, don't they? We might start off brilliant. We might start off, yeah, Jesus saved me and I'm in love with him and he's in love with me and everything's going fine and dandy. And then all of a sudden somebody attaches a cable to the gable end of our house and it starts to pull some of the walls away and the angles get pulled out. And so my mum contacted some builders and they came and they put it right. And sometimes we need to help one another and sort one another. That's why we've got things like small groups. That's why we meet as church. That's why we have to be built together as living stones. Because on your own, you will crumble. If you're not tied into a church, you will crumble. 100% guaranteed, because it's not the will of God. The will of God is to be tied into as a living stone into church. And we need that. I've needed that over all the years that I've been in OCF and before. I've needed the people of God to pray with me, to stand with me, to help me, to pick me up, to challenge me, to support me in so many ways. And I say, praise God for Ormskirk Christian Fellowship and all those people that I've known. And I can, because I've been in this church for so many years, I can look back. And I wish I'd kept a diary because I could have written a really good book by now of all the ways that OCF has supported and strengthened and Christians and believers have helped me in my life. And that will be the testimony, not of how great Mike has done in his life, how great other people have done in Mike's life through Jesus Christ. And how great you could be in somebody else's life as you're built in as a living cornerstone. So, and then the third and the final aspect of the cornerstone for this week is this, that the cornerstone brings strength to the building and to the body. So in Colossians chapter 1, verse 17, it says, "He is before all things, and in him all things hold together." I love that. I remember praying that at somebody's wedding once many years ago. "He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Without him, things will fall apart if he is not our cornerstone." And if he's not our cornerstone, then church isn't just less of a church. It isn't church. It's a club. Yeah, it's nice to get together, isn't it, and have a cup of tea together, and we could talk about the Bible. But if Jesus isn't the cornerstone, it isn't church. It's just a club and has no future. But when Jesus is the cornerstone, the center and the focus of the church, then it's the best community on earth, a foretaste of the best that is yet to come, a foretaste of heaven itself. But we need to live our lives in a way where nothing else matters until Jesus matters most. So next week we're going to be looking at what is this cornerstone in its nature, in its character. Who is this Jesus? And how can it impact our lives? What does it look like in our lives, in my life? I'm working it out still. But I want us to work it out together. I'd like us to work it out. What does it mean for Jesus to be the cornerstone of Ormskirk Christian Fellowship and of each of our lives? And how can we be built together to create a church which is strong and powerful for the future, that shares Jesus and shows Jesus and demonstrates Jesus to the world? Let's pray. Almighty Lord Jesus, I want to thank you for this morning. I thank you, Lord God, that all that I've been talking about, we've actually been demonstrating in our prayers, in our worship. But we want to continue to go deep and go stronger and go harder, Lord God, because we know that you are Jesus, and we want you to be right at the center of everything that we are. It is all about you, Lord Jesus, and nothing else. We pray, Lord God, it would be all about you and nothing else, Lord Jesus. We pray that in our church we would be built on the foundation of the cornerstone, the precious, chosen, holy cornerstone of Jesus Christ. Teach us, Lord God, this week and over the next few weeks and months, of what it means to live with you as the cornerstone of our lives together. Build us as a church, Lord Jesus, to be stronger together. Build us as a church, Lord God, with our feet firmly placed on the foundation of Jesus Christ, our rock and our Savior, our King and our Lord. Almighty God, move in power in our communities, in our neighborhoods, in our workplaces. Teach us how to put you above all things so that nothing else matters until you matter most, Lord Jesus. And I pray that as you matter most, then everything else becomes the better for it. But we pray that you would be above everything. And if that means to the sacrifice of everything else, then so be it. But Lord Jesus, may you matter most. May you matter most. Lord, may you matter most. Jesus' name, amen.